Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Church, let's be on our feet. With Jesus' joy, we want to welcome our pastor, our teacher. He has joy to be blessed another week.
He holds my life, Jesus the man.
Come on, sing it out.
Whether rain or shine,
whether rain or shine,
day or night,
day or night, he leads the way.
He holds my life, he holds my life,
Jesus the man.
Whether rain or shine, whether rain or oh, he holds the reins of my life. Gives me peace, perfect peace. No one can love me as Jesus. Yes, he shed in his blood.
So grateful for another opportunity to be in your house. I pray that your word will fall upon soft ground. May we take your word to our hearts. And Lord, let your word change us, wash us, put us right, encourage us and help us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You want to lift up your Bible? Or you have forgotten your Bible? Since I've been away, you have. All right, you want to say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow. I feel like it's a very long, long time since I saw you. It's nice to be here this afternoon. And it's just a short word, but I believe that it's a word for us in this time. Amen. Before I start preaching, I just want to give you one very important announcement. We have a convention coming up. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. From the 11th to the 13th of June, Bishop Atu Dixon is going to be here with us. Amen. And we want to be available. Ask your neighbor, are you going to be available? Hallelujah. I'm believing God that we'll have a very wonderful time in the presence of God. It's been a while since he was here. It's been a while. So I believe that he'll be coming with a fresh word for us and a fresh anointing for us. So let's be ready. Amen. Beautiful. Well, for the month of June, we are studying a very important subject. Very, very important subject. The art of following. The art of following. Anything that we say is an art. It means it can be learned. The art of following. Please, when I am preaching, your eyes are up here. It's not on your phone. It's not on the floor. It's not on your friend. It's not on your nothing. It's just a few minutes of the Word of God. Amen. Because even when we are concentrating, cry, we remember only 11%. So when we are not concentrating, nothing. So try and concentrate. Hallelujah. The art of following, or the art of copying, same thing. The only reason why we will not use art of copying, some people use that as an excuse to go and copy in exams and then we'll have a problem. Amen. So we're going to be studying this subject through the month. Because the truth is that this is the number one way that God has ordained for us to learn a thing. If you see a child, he cannot talk. But as he's listening to his mother and his father speaking, he starts to follow. Ma. That's the plenty words that you have now. Pa, it becomes something. Are you there? Or you learnt yours by another means? Please inform us. That's how we all learn it. Amen? Amen? And that's even why when grown-ups and adults go to a people who speak a different language, the children learn it first. The adults, we're afraid to copy. We're afraid to follow. So people will laugh at me, but the children, they just copy and follow. So in a short time, they are speaking the language. Ask your neighbor, you cry, how many languages do you speak? Kata, please come in. What did your neighbor say? Two languages. Ask your neighbor the next question. How did you learn the language? How did you learn? Did you drop from heaven? You were already speaking it. You learned it by copying or following somebody who spoke you, who speaks it. And if you decide you will not follow, you will not learn the language. It's as simple as that. Are you there? Yeah. Even doctors, when they are going to the surgery they are doing on you, maybe you didn't know. Watch one. Assist one. And do one. That's how it's learned. So they are watching. The first time they see that procedure, they're just standing there watching. Are you there? Second one, they are assisting. Third one, they are doing. Under supervision, of course, but they are doing. Hallelujah. So the art of following is something that God gave, and that's how we do our things. Even though some of us, as we grow older, pride sets in and we say, oh me, I don't follow anybody. I don't. It's not correct. It means you have stopped learning. That's what it means. And the Bible has something to say about this. So take us to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6, 12. That you be not slothful. Another word for slothful is lazy. I never knew that it takes effort to copy something. Ask your neighbor, why don't you speak French? Quite apart from the fact that French teachers in Ghana are not good. I mean. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, one of the things about following is that when you are looking at something, you need to know what to follow. You need to know what to follow. Some of you have followed bad friends. It has made something useless out of you. Your friend was smoking weed. You said, bring one. Yesterday, I saw a picture of a young man. You are passing. Your friend is passing. You don't know what the friend is smoking. You say you want to smoke some. And they gave it to him and he smoked it. And in the picture, he was just sitting. They had thrown water on him as if he didn't even know where he was. The person is smoking his smoke. Do you know what he's smoking? Ask your neighbor, do you know what he's smoking? Then you say, hey, I'm going to copy some. Charlie, it was very serious. And they were just watching the guy. They were worried for him because what have you... Obviously, the thing had a very bad effect on him. And he was just sitting there. You could see he was wet. They had tried to revive him. He had followed his friend to go and smoke something he shouldn't have smoked. Hey, are you in the house? Some of you are following your friends to go and chase girls at your age. I'm talking to the teenagers. If you follow the wrong thing, in the same way as following the right thing takes you to a good place, following the wrong thing takes you to a place that's not good. And that's why the Bible gives us what we should follow. It says, follow somebody who had faith, and not just faith, the patience to wait, then we see the person inheriting the promises of God. That's what you should follow. Hey, are you in the house? And that's why in this service, as in the first service, I preached about the art of following Abraham. Now, there are 6 points in our Father's book under Abraham. I shared on 3 of them in the first service, and I'm sharing 3 now. So to get the full message, listen to what was preached. But we spoke about, in the first service, I spoke about the fact that Abraham obeyed God. He was minding his own business in Genesis chapter 12, and God came and said, out of here, leave of your kindred and go. The part that even shocks me in Genesis 12:1 is that he didn't even tell him where to go. Just said, start moving. Hey, it's not easy. Some of us, even when they've told us where to go, cry, we can't go. But he was told where to go, and he went. I mean, he was just to go, and he left. And it was one of the things that blessed his life, because from there on, good things were happening to him. Are you with me? The second thing about him was that he was a man of faith. And I shared in the first service about how faith is not a feeling, it's a decision. Many people wait to feel like they believe or to feel that they have faith. It's not a feeling. You decide that I believe God, and then it begins to work for you. It's a decision. I decide I will not doubt. I decide I will not listen to another voice. I decide that what God says, that's it. I believe it. And then you begin to see it. Are you here? Hey, you are not minding me. Then I also shared that Abraham was somebody who tithed. And this was long before we began to see instructions on tithing and all that. He tithed to the high priest Melchizedek. Are you there? Yeah. Are you? So I'm just sharing all these things because I think that we need to hear it. And he became a very rich man. The man left his father's house in Genesis 12. By Genesis 13, he was a very rich man. I tell you, it worked for him. Somebody who through faith and patience. Hey, our wedding couple is in the house. You dare not put them at the back. There are seats here in the front. Oh, Pridodo, hey! Fountain of Life Cathedral. Pastor Albert and his bride. Charlie, it's nice to see you. tell your neighbor that your time will come. If your neighbor is not my time, your time will come. All right, we are back in the word. We are back in the word. At the right time, we shall hear from them. At the right time. Okay. So I was sharing with you about Abraham, and I was sharing so that you see that the man, he had already begun to prosper very early. So now I'm coming to continue with the last 3 points here. If you want the details, go to the other one. Is it okay? To what I preached earlier in the first service. Now, there was another thing about Abraham, and I want to share on this, that Abraham was somebody who ruled his own house. He ruled his own house. Very, 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 very important. Very, very, very important. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. You see, God was thinking, should I speak to Abraham? Should I tell him what I'm planning? Then God says something in verse 19. Verse 19, Genesis 18. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This is God's testimony of Abraham. He said, this man, I know him. I wonder what God is saying about you. He said, I know this man, and I know that he'll command his children. Now, I know that in this service, we have a mixture. You know, I didn't preach this point in the first service. It was actually point number three. I moved it to this service. Point number three, here was full. They are all students. There, nobody's married here. But here, there are people who are married, who have homes. I'm showing you what to copy of Abraham. That you will command your children and your household after you. So if you are a man who is out of place, I don't know where you are commanding them to. This man was a man, he was following God, and so he commanded them so that they would keep the way of the Lord. Ask the nearest man to you that you, which way are you going? And it says that he commanded his children. One of the things that's very sad to see, parents are in the church, they have left their children at home. What do you think the children are doing? What do you think the children are doing? I've been a pastor of young people for a very long time, and I can tell you that they're up to no good. I can tell you that. Oh, yes. Are you there? Yeah. What are they doing in the house? How come you have come to church, you have left your children? And sometimes we just leave them to just do what they want. No, not so Abraham. So if you are following Abraham, then you must make up your mind that, look, church, there we are going. The things concerning God, we are all going. We are all inside. Yeah. And if you do not command them when they are younger, I promise you, a time will come when you cannot command them. I'm talking to someone in the church. Because children, my mother's people, they have a saying, children are not ears. You know, when you look at your ears, they don't grow so much from when you are a baby till when you are an adult. So they said, children are not ears. You see, they grow. And if you don't start to control them when they are young, by the time they are old, it is too late. Am I talking to someone in the house? Today, this part of the message is for the adults. But those of you who are not married, listen well and also add it to your things. Because you will marry. You also have a home. One day, I was drinking coffee. And I have two sons who also like coffee. And they came and they said, Mommy, we want coffee. I said, but coffee is there. Make your coffee. He said, no, we want your coffee. So one of them, my hands were around the coffee like this. He removed my hands and his brother took the cup. And I said to myself, look at something, though. These are my sons that are born. Today, I can't control them. They have been able to remove my hands and collect my cup. In other words, they become stronger. So if I had not been dragging them to church when they were younger, Carter, please come. So I've not been saying anything. Then I'm saying that today, we are going to church. Today, whatever you say, we are going to church. Well, if I don't take care, I would rather be made to stay in the house. Or you can't see it. He's not even using effort. What's even paining me is that he's not using effort. No effort, oh. He's not even using effort. It's annoying. So if you have not commanded the child since the child was a child, is it now when your child is like this, you are trying to command him to go where? Thank you. Abraham commanded his children. And not just his children, his household. You have brought your children to church. You have left the house girl in the house with the garden boy. Ha! Hey, make up your mind from today. Even the dogs, it's only that I don't have praise for them. Otherwise, they cry, they will come to church. Yeah. He commanded. This was a successful man. Remember what we are looking at, oh. Somebody who through faith and patience, he inherited the promises. He became what we want to become. He was wealthy. He grew, the few battles he fought, he won all. He became an old man. He lived into a good old age. Are you there? We even read of him in heaven when Jesus was telling us the story of Lazarus and the rich man. He spoke about Abraham in heaven. So, Charlie, this man, he had succeeded in everything. He was a married man. He had a home. Some people, they are 38. They are still struggling to find one wife. So, neighbor, it's not on the floor. It's not on the floor. End up form. It's not on the floor. It's not simple. Are you in the house? The church is very quiet. And if you are a young man and you are planning to marry, you better marry a woman who you can take somewhere with you. Because already you are not yet married, you can see that she won't follow you. And you are planning to marry her. Good luck. Good luck. She's already demonstrating her independence. Then when you marry her, dear, I don't know. See what you saw. Just see it. Are you there? I know you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm saying it. I'm marrying her. I want to marry her. She's nice. Many nice things are totally empty. And if she will not obey your voice now, she will definitely not obey it when you marry. Hey. The house has become very hot all of a sudden. Oh, yes. See what you are seeing. See what you are seeing. Yeah. You are serious about church. She's not serious. And you can see it. And vice versa, the reverse is also true. It's only that the woman, we are not in the commanding position. That's why I'm using the men. Are you there? But God said of Abraham, I know this man. He's going to command everybody, wifey, we are going to church. You can't command your wife to go to church. The signs were there before you married her. The signs are there now. You still say you're going to marry her. I'm watching you. Yay, the room has become very, very tight, very tensious, very tensious. Some people are saying, Mommy, what are you saying? I'm saying what I'm saying, and you are reading my message well, and you are hearing my message very well. Yes. You see, it is easier to say it from the pulpit. Because the next stage is that I must now call you and call her and tell you that it is not it. And then you will say that, hey, but how do you know me? I had a dream. The Lord came down from heaven and spoke to me and said to me, thou shalt marry, thou shalt. No problem. When you finish marrying and things are knocking things in your house, remember, I showed you the sign. I showed you the sign. If now, we're going to church, she says, excuses, this. Watch out. Let me end it there before the bombs become too strong. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, she didn't want to come, so I left her. Your house will burn. Let's move on to the second one. Are we learning about Abraham or are we not? Don't marry somebody who does not respect your voice. Already. Because when we marry, familiarity is now coming. So before familiarity comes, already, your voice is nothing. Then when familiarity comes to add, let me continue, Niger. I'm going to look for a fight for myself this fine afternoon. The next one. But are you getting the point or are you not getting the point? And it's a very important point, even though she's looking like she's very nice and sweet. There's such a thing as slow, sweet poison. It is poison. Poison is poison. And when you finish and you are going home and you are going to the fire that is in the house, then you start roaming and going home at 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., you have brought another problem. But the sign was there. Earlier, it was there. Hey, he'll command his children and his household after me. Don't bring your modern ways to me that, hey, nowadays it's not like that. Nowadays what? Just look at the sign. Look at the sign. God, he knew what he was doing when he said, the man is leading. Look at the sign. Look at the mess. All the places where we said, is equality, is not. Is this. What have they got to show for it? But divorce, broken homes, mixed children, stepchildren, half children, mixed, fighting. Don't even start. Let's move on to point number two. If I don't take care, we'll go to another sermon. And by the way, I have to inform you that I'm an educated woman. So it's not that I'm not educated. No, I have to just say it because you are looking at me like, yeah, one course queen in a work as I know. Sure, don't bring yourself home. But the word of God, God knew what he was saying. When my husband says, I said, yes, please. When I don't agree, I go into my closet and pray. Hey. So do you never pull your mouth? Of course I do. But I will not be a fool to set a fire in my house. No. I'll go and sort it out. Next thing, we are following Abraham. Tell your neighbor, we are following Abraham. The next thing about Abraham was that he was somebody who prayed. Yeah. And it was a certain kind of prayer. Not the kind of prayer that is very popular in Ghana these days. Because nowadays in Ghana, all you need to do is to set up a place and start doing pray for me, pray for me. The place will be full. He was not doing pray for me prayers. He was an intercessor. This was a man who had his own problems, but he forgot his own problems. He put aside his own problems, and he was talking to God about Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you there? Genesis chapter 18. I think this 18 is a very important chapter. God had now come and he had spoken to me and told him that, look, these people, the way it is, I'm going to just remove Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm just going to extinguish it. I'm going to just cancel it. You know, because the way ungodliness is growing over there, if I leave it, there'll be a problem. They said, let me share it. Remember, that's what he was thinking about. He said, I'll talk to Abraham about it. So then he speaks to Abraham about it. Let's pick up, look at verse 23. Abraham Jr. said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's starting to intercede. He's starting to bargain. Remember that at this time, his passion and his desire to have a child had not been fulfilled. So he wasn't talking to God because he was okay. He wasn't interceding for somebody else because his everything was all right. In the midst of his situations, he was speaking to the Lord. Verse 32, I mean, it means he has bargained with God from verse 23 all the way. Oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. He said, I won't destroy it for 10. And he continued. Are you there? He continued. Please continue. You know, he said, okay. Remember, he started from 50. Are you there? And he came all the way down. I'll say just one more. So 50, 40. Okay, what about 10? He was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is one of the keys to success, that you put aside your own yagba and wala and pray for other people. That's what we are seeing here. You cannot see it. Yeah. Because we know how to do the bless me, all for me prayer. But many times when we are praying about what God is concerned about, We even don't do it. And if we do it, we are not with any heart. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. You'll be surprised when you start to talk to God about what God is concerned about. You'll be surprised at how quickly he'll sort you out. Look at it. Paul was speaking. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. It's as if he was talking about us today. We're not concerned about anything concerning God. We're not concerned about what God is concerned about. God is concerned about souls being saved. What is happening? What's happening here? God is concerned about interceding on behalf of people. Our minds are not there at all. Oh, is it true or is it not true? Our minds are on me, myself, and I. And as our minds are there, we are praying and praying. Then we begin to get frustrated with God. You see? But sometimes God wants you to just bury yourself in his things, and he then begins to sort you out. Do you remember Job? Yeah, Job was struggling. And then in Job chapter 42, 42 chapters of troubles. 42 chapters, he lost everything. Do you remember the story? He was not well. The enemy was on his case. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. If ever there was a man who should be lying flat and saying, I'm finished, I cannot, my life is over, it should have been Job. And yet, look at Job 42 and verse 10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Rather when he now turned his mind to praying for those friends who had spoken foolishly, that's when the Lord restored him. My friend, I think we should start to look more at what God is interested in. Before you are aware, he has sorted you out. God sorted Abraham out. God sorted him out. He gave him what he was looking for. Hallelujah. And so if we are trying to follow Abraham, let us be people who bring to God the things concerning God. God is concerned with all the wars that happen. God is concerned with the people that are dying. God is concerned with the people of Israel. God is concerned with your next door neighbor who does not know Christ. He is concerned with so many things, your family members who don't know Christ. He is so concerned about all of it, but we are looking in another direction. What was the first point I shared with you? Command your house. We're all going. He commanded his house. Second point that Abraham did. He was interceding. Let's use the word intercession, because he didn't just pray. When you say intercession, then we know you are praying for someone else, something else. Are you there? Wow. And the third and last point I will be sharing with you this afternoon. Abraham, the art of following Abraham is the art of taking up your cross. Remember, there was a song like that. Take up your cross. Follow me, deny yourself, follow me. Take up your cross if you wanna be my disciple. Take up your cross, follow me. Find the scripture. Deny yourself, follow me. Take up your cross if you wanna be my disciple. The Lord demands of it that we take up our cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But Abraham was born long before Jesus came to make this statement. And yet, he took up his cross. What was his cross? One day. Tell your neighbor, one day. The Lord said to him that, this child that I gave you is the one that I want back. Sacrifice him. Sacrifice him. Abraham was very quiet. He just took the child up to the mountain. He didn't say anything to the mother because he knew that it wouldn't work. And they went up. And just before he slaughtered the child, he said, hey, don't touch the guy. Turn around, you see that there is. The Lord was testing his heart to see that, how far are you ready to go for God? And today the Lord is checking us out still. And he's asking some of us to give up our Isaacs. What is an Isaac? Your precious thing. Can be anything. Your precious thing. Definitely Isaac was precious to Abraham, the son of his old age, when he thought he would not have any children. Definitely he was precious. And sometimes God comes around and he asks us for something. You have been dreaming that you are going to wear. And then he just, no, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. I'm reminded of a story which was told to us by Bishop Jake. Bishop Jake is one of our bishops in Accra. He's been a missionary for many years, and at a point he was in Nigeria. And he said one day they had gone on evangelism. And when he started to evangelize and share the gospel with a certain guy, the guy said to him, he was with his assistant, he said, My brothers also need to hear what you are saying. So let's go. I'm taking you to our house. So they followed. He said they followed the guys. Lungus. Then left, right. Then. I said, hey. Then the guy brought them to a house and gave them a seat. He said, it's when they sat down there. He said, hey, where have we come? Oh? We can't even find our way back. Because at that time, he had not been there for long. He said, they waited. Finally, the guy came back with his two brothers. And when they came, truly, truly, when he shared the gospel with them, they all prayed and received Christ. So he directed them to where the church was on the following Sunday. And he said, he was saying to himself that, me, Sunday, I won't come for these people. I cannot, hey, this place, I cannot come. You know, there are some places we don't walk there by heart. Are you there? You don't go there by heart. Hey. So he was like, no. So he just directed them. He said, hey, when they got to the church Sunday, the three brothers had come. Not only that, they were very helpful around because at that time, the pastor and his wife, they were the ones who sweep the church, do setup. So, hey, the guys came, they weed the place, they were helping. Then one day, the brothers came and said, Pastor, we have a request that we want to make. The truth is that all of us have applied. We are emigrating to the U.S. and we want you to pray for us. He was sad to think that they will not be his members anymore, but Chaleja, he prayed for them from his heart. After a while, one brother's papers came. Baba yo, I'm going. And he left. After a while, second brother's papers came. I'm going. And he left. He's left with one brother. And this third brother, when his paper came, application denied. It's not happening. It's not working. This thing was very precious to this man. Now his brother had gone. The other brother had also gone. He was now left alone. Then his pastor spoke. He said all of a sudden, he just heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, give it up. Give it up. You, your blessing is here. Hey, many of you, you would have written me letters. So. You would have said things behind doors. Hey, son, all this time we're in the church. Mommy doesn't like me. She likes my brothers. You won't even encourage me to go and apply again. He said, I should just accept what. You are very wicked. Hey. But you see, this guy was a man of faith. And he believed that God was speaking to him. And he gave up that dream that was so precious to him. He did not apply again. The American dream. He's one of our millionaires in the church today. Yeah. Because God prospered him. God really, really prospered him. I don't know how it is for his brothers, but he prospered him. Yeah. He gave up his what? His Isaac. The dream he had. I don't know what your dream is. It can be anything. And it's not for me to tell you what to give up. Those things, usually, God seems to impress it on you himself. That there's something you need to give up. And then maybe he will use another person to confirm it to you. Are you in the house? Sometimes you have a strong desire. I'm going to do this. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to be this. And he comes and says, There was Abraham. Give up your Isaac. Give up your Isaac. Your one and only son. The son that you know you can't have another. At least not with Sarah. Are you in the church? I don't know what God is asking you to give up. I can think of many things he's asked me to give up. But what I want to say to you is that we started with the scripture, Hebrews 6:12. It says, be not slothful. You see now why it says slothful? Don't be lazy. Because following somebody takes a lot of effort. It said, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. And we can see from Abraham that he inherited. He became what we want to be. He had what we would like to have. May the Lord help us. May he show us our Isaac. May he show us that thing that he's requiring for us to give up. For some of us, it is a friendship. For some of us, it's a relationship. For some of us, it could be some money that you put somewhere. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is that he says to you, may God grant you the grace to give it up and to inherit the promise as Abraham did. Stand to your feet. This afternoon, I just want you to pray for a few minutes. We've talked about following Abraham. Maybe you are there, you can see that you're already off the road. I want you to just talk to God, the solver of all issues. You've already left your children. You've already left your household. They don't come to church, or you yourself don't come, whatever. Talk to him about it. You're Isaac. You are not able. You've not been able to give God that thing that he's asking of you. Sometimes he's touching your heart to intercede for others. But you've pushed it away. You want to say, Lord, as I come before you this afternoon, I will obey. I will obey. I will obey. Talk to the Lord for a few minutes this afternoon. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Mandolo bosikita ya baba. Oh, shandolo brosima shende debia. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive us, oh God. Help us to follow after Abraham. To command our households to follow us. I pray for every family, Lord, that is struggling with their children. Every marriage that is struggling, for your grace and for your help, that together we will serve you. Grant us a spirit of intercession to come before you with what is on your heart, and grant us the grace, O God, to let go of what you want from us. That precious thing that has taken your place, we give it up this afternoon. And we say, Lord, help us, give us grace to follow after Isaac, after Abraham. I thank you for your grace, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, this afternoon I want to invite you to follow Jesus. Abraham was somebody who followed the Lord all the days of his life. And this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you are saying that, Lord, I'm so far away from you. I'm so far away from you, Lord, but I want to come closer. This afternoon, I ask you to just lift up your hand. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. You're saying, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what will happen to me, Lord. I'm not sure where I will go. Pray this prayer after me, everyone. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me, Lord, and write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIDRASE. God richly bless you.